the heavenly planets. That's what Krishna pointed out in Bhagavad Gita. If he wins the battle, then he'll enjoy the earth. And if he dies in the battle, not being defeated in a battle, a kshatriya will never think of a defeat. He'll either win or he will die. That is a kshatriya's nature. So if he wins, then he will enjoy the earth planet. If he dies, he'll enjoy the heavenly planet. So what's the loss? Actually, it's a better option to die in a battlefield. So that is why a kshatriya is never, never afraid. So Duryodhan, being a kshatriya, he was not afraid in that sense. Afraid in the sense he was not thinking that he was going to lose the battle. Right? But he was actually thinking, he was speaking like that to provoke Dronacharya. Because he had his doubt whether Dronacharya will fight with his full strength, because Dronacharya's soft corner for Arjuna. Arjuna was Dronacharya's dearest disciple. So he was afraid that Dronacharya may not display his full valor. So that's why he is kind of provoking him. And while provoking him, he is saying that, look, they are so powerful. But don't worry, we are more powerful. In this way, he is diplomatically instigating Dronacharya into that battle. Yes?
Mentioning that Kshatriya, if he wins, then he will enjoy. If he dies, then he will still enjoy. So can we say that in this case, Arjuna, he is actually saying that even if he wins, he won't be able to enjoy.
Yeah.
And then he knows that if he dies, he will go to the heavenly planets, but he doesn't even want to go to that option. So how can we understand? Is it that Arjuna is displaying that he's more on a bodily platform than even a regular kshatriya, because he's seeing that, you know, due to the loss of family members.
Yeah. Yeah, you can say that, but we have to understand that this weakness in Arjuna is the arrangement of Jogamaya. For Arjuna, you know, he is, in normal condition, Arjuna would not be overwhelmed by grief like that. And we can see when the battle started, then what happened? Did Arjuna have any weakness for anyone? He shot so many arrows on Bhishma Dev's body that when Bhishma fell, he fell on a bed of arrows. His body didn't touch the ground. All the arrows pierced his, not one or two, hundreds of arrows pierced his whole body from head to feet. Only the head was not like hit, but his whole body was pierced with arrows. So what does it mean? He became completely free from emotion. Like, who was more, whom he loved more than Bhishma? His grandfather. But in this battle, he... And only a kshatriya can act like that.
One point,
Maharaj. Yes.
Is there absolutely no kshatriya in the age of Kali? That's it. No kshatriya at all?
At least at this point in time, there's no kshatriya. And there are kshatriyas, but they are not coming out. They are in retreat. Because they don't want to fight. Kshatriyas don't fight like that, you know. Today the way the warfare goes on is a cowardice. It's like cowards fight like that, hiding behind the trenches and bunkers and shooting at weapons that would destroy the, en masse. So that is not That is not a heroic way to fight. They would fight face to face, fight with their own strength. So that's why in this age, it's all sutras.
Kalo. One other point, Maharaj. Going to heaven, I mean, dying in the battlefield and going to heaven, my understanding is that the warfare has to be on religious grounds. If it is not on religious grounds, it is not absolutely that you go to heaven. Is that a fact that whatever war is being fought has to be on religious grounds?
Yes, right. That's why it's dharma yuddha. On the religious ground that those wars used to take place. Practically all wars used to take place in that way. Like on the religious ground, the king used to establish the authority and supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he used to uphold his principles. Krishna's principles, recognizing himself to be his representative. That was an ideal king. But the demoniac kings, they were not like that. Like here, Duryodhan is not actually representing Krishna. Therefore, there is dharma yuddha. Arjuna is representing Krishna, Pandavas are representing Krishna. And who is their enemy? Those who do not want to accept Krishna. And that's why it's a dharma yuddha. Naturally, the dharma yuddha would not take place between Krishna's devotees and Krishna's devotees. Because, when they're Krishna's devotees, they will recognize who is more powerful and then they will surrender unto him. And in this way, the supreme ruler of the planet will be established.
Maharaj, but if the enemies are unrighteous persons, as in this case, they got liberation also, not so?
Yeah, they got liberation. Yeah, because Krishna was present in the battlefield. It was a dharma yuddha. It was a war really on religious principles. So even those who are in enemy line, because they're Kshatriyas, they died in the battlefield. They went to heavenly planets. But the devotees of Krishna, they went back to Godhead. That's the difference. Non-devotees will go to heavenly planets, and devotees of Krishna will go back to spiritual sky.
In that case, majority of the Kauravas, they went to heavenly planets, and Pandavas said, majority of devotees, they went there and left the spiritual world.
Yeah, so number of devotees is less than non-devotees. Right? Manushanam sahasreshu. So the devotees are very, very rare.
But they are looking at Krishna at the time of death.
Well, those who are looking at Krishna at the time of death and recognized him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, naturally they went back to Godhead. But not that everyone was dying there looking at Krishna. Right? Like even when Krishna went back to the spiritual sky, when he was going back, in heavenly planets, some demigods saw him going, some did not. Who see Krishna? Those who are favorably disposed to him. Who do not see Krishna? Those who are not favorably disposed. Those who love Krishna, they want to look at him. Those who don't love Krishna, they want to look away from him. Right? Those who love Krishna, they look at Krishna. Those who don't love him, they look at Maya.
Some portion of
that mentality they have, or?
Who determines that? That he is a Kshatriya?
Like, you know, we just casually, you know,
yeah,
think ourselves.
No, it's not a casual thing to determine. You see, Kshatriyas, it's very, you know, it's practically, it's not, you know, possible for Kshatriya to be here now, in the age of democracy. You see, for example, a Kshatriya is one, you know, he will establish his right with his own strength. Right? Now, in this age, can anybody establish his right with his strength, own strength? No. Everybody is establishing his right by law. Right? Whereas a Kshatriya won't listen to any law. Right? He'll have his own law. And his law is might is right. Right? His law is, I want it, therefore I want it. I like it, therefore I want it. Like, a Kshatriya, if he wants to marry, he won't look at the matrimonial column in the internet or in the newspaper. He will go and take the princess, pull her in the chariot, and he will say, well, I'm taking her. If anyone wants, he can try to stop me. Right? And he'll fight. And this is how he will, you know, win his bride. And so that is a Kshatriya. If he wants a kingdom, he will just go there and make a challenge the king of that kingdom and say, look, I want your kingdom. Now you have two options. You can either surrender unto me and accept my authority, then I'll give you protection. You come under my control, then I'll give you protection. But if you don't accept my authority or supremacy, then come and fight. And in the battle, whoever will win will have the kingdom. So that is the Kshatriya law. Therefore, there is an expression, Biro Bhogga Bosundhara. Bosundhara, mother, this earth planet, is enjoyed by the heroes, by the valiant heroes. Whoever is most powerful, he'll have the supreme authority. Right? In this way, the most powerful one will become the ruler of the entire earth planet. Right? Now, is it possible in this age? No. Because the law is as such. You see, on one hand, the democracy has created a kind of a structure for the people, by the people, and of the people, which means for nobody, by nobody, and of nobody. Right? And in this world, in today's world, you know, who are the only who has some semblance to the Kshatriyas? The mafias. See, they have their own law, and they say that you surrender unto me, you pay me tax, I'll give you protection. And in order to protect his people, they would even die. They wouldn't mind giving up their lives. So I'm saying that they're not Kshatriyas, but because there is no possibility of a Kshatriya to display his characters, display his nature, therefore the Kshatriyas, those who have some Kshatriya tendencies, they have become the outlaws. Because within the legal structure, one Kshatriya cannot function. Therefore they are functioning, you know, outside that law. So that is why you see Kshatriya, and another thing is, the Kshatriya will not accept anyone's subordination. Kshatriya will be his own master. Right? Does a lion accept anyone's subordination? So similarly, a Kshatriya is like a lion. among the animals, lions are in the mode of passion. Among human beings, the Kshatriyas are in the mode of passion. And their natures are very much alike.
Kshatriyas are also considered to be one who uphold the law, like behavior,
Yeah, but in this age, who is upholding dharma? No one is upholding dharma with his own strength. The dharma is now will be established only through sankirtan. It's the age of democracy. It's the age of collective. So this collective endeavor is going to establish dharma in the form of sankirtan. Whereas in other ages, it's the king who is to uphold dharma. But any government leader upholding dharma now? All the chelas of adharma, all the political leaders nowadays are the chelas of the followers of adharma. So there is no possibility of them upholding dharma, religious principles. Yes?
You're saying at this point in time, there is no Kshatriya in that monarchy, but it is interesting that the description in Kalki Purana, the circumstances in which Lord Kalki is functioning, the prediction that there will be kings. So it's strange that that's still within Kali Yuga, and the description is there that there will be kings.
Yeah, there will be kings in the sense, you know, they will be the leaders of the society, like George Bush. In a way, he's king. He is the ruler of America. But in this age, what are those kings? They are the bandits. In Kali Yuga, the bandits and dacoits and such people will become the kings. Dashu Prayeshu Rajanyeshu. The Rajanya, the royal, or rather the leaders. Who will become the leaders? The Dashus. Dashus means robbers, dacoits. So dacoits will become the rulers. And yes, they will be like kings. But Kalki will come and slaughter them all. But of course, that's a long way to go. 427,000 years. Okay, yes?
Maharaj, one issue that's really in the spotlight at the moment is the Islamic Jihad. You know, who said that they're fighting for religious principles, and I have the exams here in Athens because their opponents are so unjust. So some of what they're saying, it might sound like they're thinking in a similar way to the jihadis. So I was wondering, what could you say to the
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What is the definition of the word jihad?
It's a holy war.
Why is it holy?
Because it's fought to uphold religious principles.
Okay. What is the meaning of religious principles? Okay. Who is God? Who is God?
Krishna.
Krishna. Now, are they accepting Krishna? Yeah, okay, Allah may be a name of Krishna, but they're using the name, but are they actually accepting the personality? Like, if you ask them, who is Allah? Their thing is that don't think about him, don't speak about him, don't try to understand him, don't try to see him, don't imagine, don't even consider that he has a form. So who are they worshipping? And if you go with Bhagavad Gita and tell them that this is Allah speaking, what they'll say? Right. So now do you think it's jihad in a real sense? No. It's not a religious war. Kurukshetra is a religious war, Dharma Yuddha. But what they're doing is irreligious war. Because they are not actually upholding the principles of religion. They don't know who God is. And that's why they're behaving the way they're behaving. Their principle is kill everybody. Doesn't matter whether it's women, children, kill everybody. Those who don't accept our way, they don't have any right to survive. Now, which God ever speaks like that? Did Krishna say that? So then how can we expect that they're following Krishna? They're following Allah in a true sense. They're speaking about Allah, but they do not know who Allah is. Allah means all-powerful, almighty. Who is all-powerful? We have to recognize who is all-powerful. So if we don't recognize that all-powerful, then what's the point in claiming that we are following Him? Right? Another thing is that they are saying, don't accept any other process. Don't accept any other scriptures. Don't read any other scriptures. Don't listen to any other principles. Now when God comes and speaks, they say, don't listen to God. If they were honest, they would have given themselves a chance. We are ready to speak to them, but they are not prepared to listen. We are ready to give them the knowledge, but they are not prepared to receive that knowledge. And on now consider, God comes and tells. Krishna came and said that in this age, don't use weapon. Right? He told that his devotees will not use any weapon or will not use the means of violence. That is Krishna's words. Now, if somebody in this age uses weapons, uses violence, then we can consider whether he is really following the words of Krishna, whether he is really following the words of God. If God is one, will he speak in two different ways? Or he'll speak in only one way. Naturally, he'll speak in only one way. So he gave the ways for this age. So that is the way. And that is, don't fight. Don't fight. In this age, if you start fighting, there's no end to it. Until everything is completely destroyed. That's what will happen. In Third World War, everything will be destroyed. That's why in this age, don't take that course. In this age, the way is Krishna consciousness. Love, not violence. Harmony, not terrorism. Yeah, when the Kshatriyas take over, when the real Kshatriyas take charge, then it will happen. The Kshatriyas will give an option. You accept Krishna or not? If you don't accept Krishna, get lost. Kick the bucket. And so that is the... It will happen, but not now. when Krishna consciousness spreads, ultimately the Varnashram will be established. That means that there will be genuine Kshatriyas who will rule over this earth. And they'll establish Dharma. And naturally, they won't show any mercy to those demoniac individuals who do not accept Krishna. Yes?
I was wondering, right now, sometimes on Sankirtan or in the small temples, we do sleep in the temple in order to protect the deities, or you see sometimes brahmacharis sleep in the temple room in order to protect the deities if some outsiders, you know, some Indian people will come, or sometimes some Harinam and netman or drunkard, or they attack momentarily, short time, someone in the party, or what is the best course of action when these
Yeah, we have to be practical. Like if somebody is being unnecessarily, you know, violent, then we have to prevent them from being violent. But that doesn't mean that we go out of our way to fight with them. If they come to attack us, then we defend ourselves. Right? There's a difference between being offensive and being defending ourselves. Right? We are not being aggressive. But here what we're doing is we're defending ourselves to protect our people, our property. That is different. Yes, Krishna Priya. Right.
So,
right.
In this day and age, it seems to be false religionists claiming so many things, but then obviously what God would actually ask someone to, you know, slaughter children and women.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, true. Thank you. Yes.
This is about Kshatriyas, and something came to my mind about the story of Arjuna trying to protect Krishna's wife after Krishna left the planet. Always we lose me between this story because Arjuna was a real Kshatriya and he tried to defend him and he lost over a band of dead forests. How are you?
I couldn't get the last part of your question.
How come Arjuna lost and could not protect
okay.
Krishna's wife? It's something that I always try to think about.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, that shows that, you know, Arjuna's actual strength was from Krishna. He was empowered, right? He was not, which means he was not functioning with his own capacity. He was empowered by Krishna. So when Krishna left this planet, Arjuna lost his power. Right? And he couldn't have even protect Krishna's queens, even from the hands of the cowherd people. right? And ultimately we have to understand that this is all a play on a stage, a drama. Just as Arjuna was bewildered by Jogamaya at the battlefield of Kurukshetra, there also Arjuna was affected by the influence of Jogamaya, who was arranging Krishna's pastimes to be enacted in a certain way. Okay, so time's up. The last few verses, I'll just read them through, that we haven't done. Adharmabhi bhavat Krishna pradushanti kulastriyah strishu dushtashu bashneya jayate varna sankarah. When irreligion is prominent in the family, O Krishna, the women of the family become polluted, and from the degradation of womanhood, from the degradation of womanhood, O descendant of Vrishni, comes unwanted progeny. Sankaro narakayaiva kulagnanam kulasacha patanti pitaro yesham kula glupta pindo daka kriya. An increase of unwanted population certainly causes hellish life, both for the family and for those who destroy the family tradition. The ancestors of such corrupt families fall down because the performances for offering them food and water are entirely stopped. Doshaire toi kulagnanam varna sankara karakai utsadante jati dharma kula dharmascha shashvata. By the evil deeds of those who destroy the family tradition and thus give rise to unwanted children, all kinds of community projects and family welfare activities are devastated. O Krishna, maintainer of the people, I have heard by disciplic succession that those whose family traditions are destroyed dwell always in hell. Alas, how strange it is that we are preparing to commit greatly sinful acts. Driven by the desire to enjoy royal happiness, we are intent on killing our own kinsmen. Better for me if the sons of Dhritarashtra, weapons in hand, were to kill me unarmed and unresisting on the battlefield. Sanjay said, Arjun, having thus spoken on the battlefield, cast aside his bow and arrows and sat down on the chariot, his mind overwhelmed with grief. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the first chapter of the Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of observing the armies on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So in this way, the first chapter sets the scene of Bhagavad Gita. So you got the scene? Huh? Two sides of the armies have gathered, assembled in the battlefield of Kurukshetra to fight. And Arjun felt certain overwhelming emotion for his kinsmen, and he started to express his feelings to Arjuna, Krishna. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So how did you like the game today? Didn't it make... First thing is, it made you read the verses. It made you think to ask the questions. And it made you bold enough to answer the questions. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Thank you.